This episode of the Bama Beat Podcast is brought to you by The Shirt Shop and Zaxby's. Cure your craving. Stop in today or visit Zaxby's.com. That's Zaxby's.com. This morning, Cecil.
Great. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Another long weekend of college football. Lots to talk about, obviously. Alabama was able to get away with a 62-10 victory. We had talked last week about how we thought the score was going to end up, and I had said that I don't recall a time that Alabama had scored 60-plus on a non-Power 5 opponent, you know, an inferior opponent, I guess you'd say. You said, I think that they put up 57 at one point. Obviously, kind of the way things shook out, they ended up putting up 60-plus. But I just wanted to kind of get your initial thoughts on what you thought about the game.
Yeah, you know, there are two ways that you get to 60 or 70 or wherever it ends up. The other team turns the ball over, which New Mexico State did a couple of times. Or you just hit home run touchdowns. And that's where Alabama, you know, where you score, your drive is 45 seconds. You know, Alabama had Ruggs run, technically a run. That was like that. They had two, not long passes to Jerry Jeudy, but relatively quick drives. You know, then Keelan Robinson hits one like that, and all of a sudden it's jumped up. Pretty good. Plus, your field goal kicker makes all his field goals.
Yeah, that, I thought that was probably one of the bigger talking points. Talk about how much, you know, things can change in a week. You know, people go from being a little bit concerned, and you know, we talked about it. There were a couple of long field goals in week one versus Duke. He missed them, but you know, they still look like good kicks. And then last week he was able to bounce back and make a 48 and 49 yarder. So talk a little bit about Will Riker's performance and what you've heard about him.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it probably helped him a little bit. I think he punted once, but Skylar DeLong did most of the punting and was okay. Yeah. He had one he'd probably like back that was short. The rest of the time, Skylar was fine. And you know, it's not – Will's certainly a good punter. He's not J.K. Scott, but nobody is. So, but I think it takes some of the – you know, takes some of the fatigue factor out of it. It's tough for a kicker to do all three. But Will's placements, you know, really looked good, really straight, given the distance, were high up, you know, would be good. Clearly, you could put him out there for a 55.
Absolutely.
You know.
He was hitting a lot of those in practice.
Yeah. And so I think that was one of the encouraging things.
I definitely agree. And, you know, one thing that I wanted to touch on with you, you know, we can get back to talking about this game, but the timing of it, with it being a 3 o'clock kickoff. I know last week you had kind of posted on Twitter about Alabama dealing with the heat in the month of September, kind of during the hottest portion of your season. A lot of their non-conference games have happened during the day compared to a team like LSU, where most, actually all, I think, that you pointed out have come at night. Do you want to expand a little bit on that? Because, I mean, Alabama, you know, they're playing South Carolina this weekend, so it's a little bit different of a situation, but you talk about at the 2:30 kickoff in Columbia. I don't know exactly what the weather's supposed to be like. I don't think it's supposed to be cool, though. You know, so I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on kind of heat being a factor early on in the season.
Well, it can be a factor. I think it wears on you, you know, both during a game, and then you have a cumulative effect if you're playing, you know, 97 degrees Saturday. I hadn't seen a final, and we're a little bit far out, but 93, 94 in Columbia, I think, is what they're looking at for the upcoming game. Come back and play Southern Miss. Come back and play Ole Miss, which the SEC schedule that day is not strong. I would be a little bit surprised if they put that at 2:30, but I wouldn't say that I would be shocked. But it's a cumulative effect. It wears you down, you know, just like anything else. And, I mean, these guys are young. They're tremendous athletes. Well-hydrated, trained in terms of athletic trainers being part of. But you saw, you know, when you have when you've been out there all day and you have to do a 50-yard full speed sprint like Trayvon Diggs, then that's what can happen. And as you do it week after week, I think it takes a toll. Again, we'll see. I'm not going to – we'll see what time the Southern Miss kickoff is. But, you know, and again, I didn't harp on it Saturday. I commend everybody who came. I thought it was a good crowd. You know, certainly wasn't full, but very good crowd. You know, a lot of people tried their best to hang with it as long as they could. And so I commend the fans, but I don't know that it was a particularly pleasant experience if you were sitting over there in that east upper deck.
I can only imagine. I mean, yeah. That and it seems like it could potentially continue to be an issue for the at least a couple of more weeks. But getting back to the game, I did want to get your thoughts on that. But you talk about Tua Tagovailoa and the fact that he looks healthy on that touchdown run. Obviously, there's no lingering effects. He's getting a little bit of his confidence back. And then you talk about the fact that, you know, spreading the ball around.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about Jerry Jeudy. I think he's, what, 18 catches already this season, 240 yards and four touchdowns. Henry Ruggs, Jalen Waddle. I mean, what did you see from the Alabama passing offense? And how do you think that South Carolina is going to be able to, you know, hold up as far as their secondary in comparison?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't know their secondary in depth. I know North Carolina was able to drive on them in the fourth quarter with a freshman quarterback. Impossible to judge from Charleston Southern. You know,
right.
You can't really make any conclusions based on that game. So, generally speaking, Will Muschamp defenses are good defenses. So we'll see how they match up. But yeah, I just don't know yet if there's, you know, a Captain Munnerlin back there for South Carolina. We'll just have to see. And regardless of what they've got, unless they've got four, you know, when LSU comes to town in November, they're going to have a hard time matching up.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, they just looking at the depth chart, Israel, I don't even know how to say this last name, Mukamama.
Mm-hmm.
He's a 6'4", 205-pound cornerback, so he's got a lot of length. Their other guy, J.C. Horn, 6'1", 200. So they got some length on the outside. But versus Alabama, you got a lot of technicians with route running and guys that can create separation. I think it's going to be
– Yeah, and you can't double-team anybody
exactly.
Very easily. I mean, you can, but you're really rolling the dice if you do.
Yeah, and I think with the way that Alabama has been able to, you know, is it kind of in the same situation that you mentioned with South Carolina playing Charleston Southern, you know, going against Duke and then turn around and playing New Mexico State. It's really hard to get a gauge of exactly how good this Alabama offense is, but we have seen some struggles with the run game.
Yeah, you know, one thing, the old saying that you can take statistics and prove that Rhode Island is bigger than Texas. But if you just looked at it, if you picked up a paper or went online and looked at a box score, you would see that Alabama had 285 yards passing and 318 yards rushing and averaged nearly 10 yards a carry. And you would say, well, that's pretty effective. What's everybody talking about? You know, what more could you want? But really, really, that first play to Ruggs is designed as a pass. That's not really what you're talking about in a running offense. So you take and again, numbers are what they are. I understand data. But if you take that 75 yards, then you got 360 passing and 243 rushing, and that's a little bit more reflective. And then you've also got a 74-yard run from Keelan Robinson yards. And so you take that one out. And again, that counts. They all count. Don't misunderstand me about statistics. But as far as steadily controlling the line of scrimmage, steadily being able to run at will, I think they still have some work to do.
Well, you know, and I think when you look at Alabama's offense in years past, I think it's been the consistency factor of it. You know, when they needed 4 yards, you could be fairly confident they were going to get 4 yards. Not these, you know, they a lot of minimum gains and then turn around and hit a home run to bump up your average. So I think it's more of a consistency factor. They can't – the offensive line – and I thought that Leatherwood and Wills, you know, played better. Right. But the interior of the offensive line, there's still some inconsistency
there. Well, they're down two centers.
And that makes a huge bit of difference.
It does.
And you know, just to go ahead, you know, do we have any updates on their potential playing status?
No, we're doing this before Nick Saban's press conference, so we'll see what he says. At noon, he didn't sound certain that they'd be back. He said there's a possibility that they'd be back after the game, but don't know. You know, Landon Dickerson, that's a tough, you know, that's a tough duty for a guy who just came in August, really, as a grad transfer. So you're missing those two guys. You're missing Deontay Brown. And so it does affect your play up the middle. By the way, just thinking about it, since we started talking about it, not only do you take Ruggs's 75-yard touchdown, which looks like a rushing touchdown and goes on the rush. Tua had a 25-yard scramble, which is really a call to pass.
Right.
That he got out of the pocket and scored on. So that's 100 yards, you know, that really, you know, we're more or less out of what were designed as pass plays that go down on the stat sheet as rush plays. So they've got some work to do. I thought the backs were a little bit better, you know, had a little bit more continuity. Didn't have the suspensions for one thing. I thought Najee was a little bit better. I thought Brian Robinson still struggled a little bit, but you know, I thought they were a little bit better, but it was just hard. And, you know, New Mexico State's stunting and doing what they can do. But yeah, it was tough in that interior. Evan Neal's a freshman, you know. He's a 360-pound guy playing in 180-degree weather, you know, whatever it was down on the field, 125. Yeah, so it's not easy, but you know, it's something you've got to do. You've got to establish. You know, it's hot for New Mexico State too. Don't get me wrong, but Evan's probably 100 pounds. Carrying 100 pounds more than the guy across the line from him.
Well, and you look at, I mean, Neil in high school, mm-hmm. from everything that I had seen, maybe in his earlier days, he might have played inside at guard. But all the clips that I saw, he's playing tackle.
He's playing
guard
tackle.
Might be a new,
different. Yeah, it's new for him. Center's new for Dickerson.
Exactly.
So it's you know, one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that, you know, shifting to the defensive side of the football, we obviously, with the way that New Mexico State mm-hmm. runs their offense, we saw a lot of dime, didn't see as much Christian Harris. You know, that's wasn't a huge surprise. But we saw a lot of Jordan Battle.
Yeah, I thought that they subbed in pretty liberally in the second half. Nick Saban wasn't very happy with them, but they did play a lot of guys. And Battle's going to be good. There's no question about that. So,
yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking about the upcoming Alabama-South Carolina game. And welcome back into the Bama Beat podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's. We were talking a little bit about Alabama's dime package and kind of what we saw on Saturday. Jordan Battle, like we were talking about before, he did get his feet wet a little bit, got some valuable playing experience that was great for him. Also saw a lot of Daniel Wright, McKinney, showing that he's a Swiss Army knife. They were mm-hmm. moving him down to the box, letting him play some dime linebacker next to Shane Lee. And I just think that the more that you can get some of these guys experience at this point in the season, the better off you'll be later on if something were to, especially for depth purposes.
Yeah, I was watching Texas and LSU, and both claiming to be DBU, which LSU certainly has a claim. I don't know where Texas came up with that, but good for them. And But I wondered, I didn't see anybody, either team with tremendously more talent than Alabama's got back there with Diggs, which, you know, I know that was a scary moment for everybody, but when they do the fireman carry off like that, usually it's cramps.
Right.
And that is very painful, but I'm sure they got him in the tent and they IV'd him up. He didn't go back in. Wasn't necessary for him to go back in. But, you know, Diggs, McKinney, Surtain, I mean, Shaheem Carter, they've got experience and depth and what looks like a really good freshman class coming along.
Yeah, I liked the way that Scooby Carter played.
Yeah,
in his limited time, I know that.
Yeah, Jalen Armour Davis too. I thought
absolutely. And you know, even guys like DeMarco Helms, he got in. I know that he had kind of a, I think he was maybe not supposed to be out there towards the end of the game, and I know Saban kind of wrote him pretty good for that. They Alec Aho came.
Yeah,
to the
I'll guarantee line. The last thing Nick wanted to do was have to run down there and call that timeout with 45 seconds left.
Yeah, just from where I was standing, I mean, he immediately went to DeMarco and chewed him out pretty good. And then you saw DeMarco kind of standing there, staring at the coaching staff, making sure whatever package they ended up calling defensively, he knew whether he was supposed to be on the field or off the field. But, you know, that's a learning experience. He'll get it. But, yeah, I was very pleased with the secondary overall.
Well, it'll be an interesting test for him. Saturday, Helinski, the freshman at South Carolina, threw for, like, 475 against Charleston Southern. Now let's you know, keep the horses in check a little bit, but he clearly can throw the ball. Clearly is what he's projected to be in recruiting. Now the speed of the game will be a lot different for him.
Absolutely.
But I think one thing it does, it gives their fans, South Carolina's fans, who I think were pretty bummed out about losing to North Carolina, it's something, just like with any freshman quarterback, you know, whether it's Bo Nix, whether it was Tua when Tua had just arrived. People like to see those guys. They like to see how they perform. And so I think it'll be, you know, obviously it's a big game and big crowd and probably a situation where Alabama needs to find some ways to pressure. They've been better at that this year. You know, Terrell Lewis makes a difference.
Huge difference.
And so they need to find some ways to pressure him.
Yeah. And I think that him having the home crowd obviously helps. I mean, how much that's going to help. I mean, you know, going into Bryant-Denny Stadium would obviously be probably a lot more difficult.
Sure. Everything he does successful, they'll go wild.
Right.
As they should. I mean, that's not a criticism. That's just the way the atmosphere will be. So.
And then, of course, you have what I like about the matchup for Alabama and their secondary is the size and the length that they have, you know, whether it be, you know, Patrick Surtain, whether it be Trevon Diggs, whether it be Josh Job, out on the outside, they have a lot of size and length, and compare that to a Brian Edwards, who's obviously South Carolina's top offensive player. You know, he's a 6'3", 210, 215-pound receiver, not much of a separator as far as his route running and things like that. I think it matches up from a physicality and size standpoint for Alabama pretty well to maybe be able to take him out of the game plan. Now, one thing that we also saw from South Carolina, and granted, it's Charleston Southern, we'll continue to reiterate that, but they had 8 rushing touchdowns against them. 4 different guys saw, you know, quite a bit of action. Kevin Harris, even the freshman, he was able to get some action as well. But Rico Dowell, that I don't even know how to say his last name, Dowdle, and Tavian Feaster, the former Clemson running back, both of those have been kind of their top two guys. So I'll be interested to see DJ Dell. Obviously, he's been, you know, between him and Raekwon Davis, I thought Raekwon has really been coming on strong. Really, this year, from watching film, it seems like his pad level has been a little bit more inconsistent than it was last season.
Right.
But he's come a long way as far as, you know, kind of taking over as being the guy as far as the interior pass rusher. So I do think that it'll be interesting to see how South Carolina will attack Alabama's defense with a true freshman quarterback trying to take as much pressure off of him as possible.
Well, they'll try and do some things, but I think he's pretty proficient. So, again, I think and we'll kind of wrap it up here, but I think that because we'll have some other opportunities to talk about Alabama and South Carolina. But I think the combination of South Carolina losing to North Carolina, which they really shouldn't have done. They were up 20-9 going into the fourth quarter, and should have won that game. Didn't. I understand scoreboard. But and then Jake Bentley getting hurt, I think people were like, oh, you know, South Carolina's in big trouble, and they wrote this game off. But South Carolina is not terrible. You know, this is not New Mexico State. You know, right. let's not think that it is. You know, Will's a good coach. They've recruited. They don't recruit at the Alabama, Georgia, Clemson level. I think a couple of things that have hurt Will. They hadn't really had that big signature win. They're in a division with Georgia and a state with Clemson, and so I think that makes it tough. You know, you got to be competitive with those teams, and so it takes time. But you know, South Carolina is not terrible,
right?
So people who expect that, you know, the line jumped pretty quickly to 24. Again, we'll discuss that on the pick show, but that's a lot of points.
Absolutely. Well, all right, that's going to do it for the kind of recap preview episode of the Bama Beat Podcast. We appreciate you guys tuning in, and we will talk to you guys soon. This has been Clint Lamb with the Bama Beat, brought to you by Zaxby's.